time. I am not here on Thursday. Thursday's going to be a hybrid class. Okay? So anyway, I'm not here on Thursday. If you're interested in Meditech, I really suggest you come in at 11 o'clock and come to the thing that Meditech is going to be doing in here at 11 o'clock on Thursday. And Max is going to be around all day from 9:30 to 2-ish. And so the room is open, basically, for lab work. Now, for those of you who have not done any Visual Basic, Max will be an asset.
Most of that wasn't directed at me.
Huh?
So that wasn't directed at me.
No, that was directed at the tapes. Oh, okay. Okay. So, now we're going to look at some Visual Basic. And I want to finish up, hopefully, the array stuff today. I suddenly realized as I was thinking about this, I haven't gone back and looked at the ones from under Chapter 8 because I really was more optimistic about when we were going to hit them. And so I'm going to be re-looking at them again with you. So what I want to look at now is the redim, the test redim. Okay, because that's the one that we haven't looked at. And actually, type array, did we look at that? I'm curious. So while you're bringing up that one, I'm going to just take a quick look. I think I missed that one. Yeah, I missed that one, so we're going to go and look at that one, too. But we'll look at the one I said first and then go and look at that one. Whatever. So we're going to look first at the redim one. So it's test redim is what it's called. Okay, now, there is a redim statement that allows me to go in and set up an array, redimension it. So that means if I have an array that is set up for four things and I decide I want it to be six, I can redimension it. There is also, and we'll see it down below, a redim preserve. Redim by itself will do what it says, it will restructure, but you'll lose data. Redim preserve will keep the data you have in there. So if you've got four things and you want to add two more, and you want to keep those four, you're going to use redim preserve. If you want to totally start over, basically, and redimension the array, you're going to use a redim. Okay, so what I did was I started out with an array, and I didn't tell how many. Okay, and they let me do that. What just happened? How many of these do I now have open? No, I guess I didn't close it. All right. Huh. I don't trust it, but I think I got it all right. Okay, so I've got dim accum array, and I didn't put in it anything. Okay, there's no numbers, so I have no idea how big the array is going to be. Now, when I start and push the button, and we'll do it in a minute, that says start gather, it says input, enter the number of original entries. So what I'm basically doing there is letting them choose how big the array is going to be. So I'm saying enter the number of original entries. And then I redim the array to be whatever they entered minus one, because the array obviously is starting with zero. Okay, if I redimmed it to be how many they entered, that wouldn't be a problem. It would just have an extra slot in the array, and an extra slot doesn't usually hurt anything, so it's usually not an issue. Okay, depending on what you're doing. So I say redim, and it now sets up the array. So if I'd entered a 5 here, this becomes a 4, and I now have a 4 up there under dim a cum array. It has now made that a 4. Then I have, later on, I decided that I wanted to add some more to the array. So I put up and said, how many more do you want to enter? And let's say the person responded and said 2 more. I'm redimming and preserving, and I'm saying the how many minus 1 plus the ones you want to add. So if I had 4 and I want to add 2, it's now going to be up to 6. So it will redimension the array, but it will keep the data in it. So I won't lose my first 4. I'll just get 2 slots opened up. Okay, so let's try that and see how it works. Good Lord. Keep my hands away. Okay. So, I'm saying, and I, on the whole, tried to block out the things that I didn't want them to hit yet, because it would mess things up. So I said, start gather. Okay, so it comes up and says, enter the number of original entries. So I'll put a 5 in there. And I click OK. And it says, therefore, I can take in 5 entries. Okay. Something is chirping. Okay. It's not my recorders. So now I'm going to put in a 1 and say gather amount. Clear. Put in a 2. Gather amount. Clear. Put in a 3. Gather amount. Clear. Put in a 4. Gather amount. Clear. Put in a 5. Gather amount. Clear. Now it comes down and says, okay, continue. So now I can continue. So I had made the array 5, and it let me put in 5 things. The subscripts would be 0 to 4. So that's why I had, when I said set up the array, that's why I had it minus 1. Okay, so I put in a 5. It said minus 1, so we had put a 4 up there under dim cum array, put a 4, and then it let me take things in 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the index went 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4 to get me the 5 things. Okay, so when I look at gather amount is basically saying, I'm taking the amount that I put in that text box, and I am putting it into the array modified by count. So the first thing that I put in there goes into the 0 slot in the array. The next thing I put in goes into the first slot. And the last thing I put in goes into the 4th slot in the array. So as soon as I put it in the array, I also put it out on the list box, just so that I would know. So I said list original.items.add, and so I add it to the list box. And then I add 1 to count, because I'm keeping track of how many I've done. And then I say button gather amount enabled false, so I've turned it off. Okay. Then if you look down into button clear, in button clear I said if count, which is why I added the count up above, if count is less than the array, then enable that button to let me do another one. If it's not, then disable the clear and enable the continue, because I want to continue on. Okay? So after I hit the clear each time, it goes and will finally give me the continue after X number of times. And I don't think I turned off the clear as often as I should. If I'm going to play this game, you have to play it and see all the places they can mess up and go and turn it off. And I don't think I turned off the clear button often enough. I was noticing when I was running it that it was going. So now I want the second group of entries. So I hit the continue. How many more do you want to enter? I'm going to say two more. And it's going to say okay. So now I've got entry 7. Okay? So I've got continue gather, if I remember correctly. I really need to. So I'm going to put in a 6 there, continue gather, clear, put in a 7, continue gather, clear. Okay, so I've now put in those two, and then I said show the contents of the array, and it shows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so I'm telling you that it can take 7 entries. It's already got 5. I didn't repeat those down there. I could have gone through what was already in the array and showed you those, but I didn't. I just took in the things that were new. And then the show contents of the array I did down below. So once I've hit continue, then I went over and I said continue gather. So button continue. Okay, the first thing was the button continue, and I didn't get rid of that either. I probably should have cleaned that up. How many more do you want to enter? Although it'll be interesting, I might be able to keep going. How many more do you want to enter? And I put in a 2, and it said, redim preserve. Keep the 4 I used to have, add 2 more. And so now it is going to let me put in the 2 more and add them to the list. Okay, so I go through, and I can say, okay, now when I hit continue gather, it will allow me to add things to the array. So I go down to wherever continue gather is. There it is. And so continue gather lets me take in something, put it in the array, then put it in the box, and keep going through. And every time I hit the clear, clear second checks again to see if I have already used up the entire thing. And if not, when I finally have, it says show the contents button. Enable that. And that enable the button down here where I could show everything. Now I'm curious, and I haven't tried this, so we'll find out. If I hit continue again and say I want to add 3 more things, yeah, it's going to let me do that. Entries 8, though. 3 more things. Well, let's see what it does. I should be at 8. Continue gather 8. Clear, 9. I'm not seeing it getting my continue back, so I don't think I've got it set up so that it's going to nicely let me continue again. So I should have gotten rid of that continue button and without spending the time to look at it. I don't know what I did such that I couldn't continue again. Does anybody see? Because if I hit the continue button, oh, okay. Because I have work how many minus one there plus work more, so that was the four plus three more. I was now up to eight entries, so that's why it was doing that. Okay, so I should not have had, if I wanted to keep going there, the work how many minus one, I should have gone and figured out the length of the array so that I saw how many were in there. I wasn't planning on me hitting the continue button again. So I should have figured out the length of the array and added that to the length of the array so that if there were already seven things in the array, then I would be taking that minus one and adding that to how many more. So that's what I should have done if I wanted to keep doing it. What I really should have done, according to my plan, is just make the disable the continue button. Okay, but if I wanted to keep the continue button, why it let me go with one more was because redim preserve said three more, but I'd already added two, so it only had room for one more. Because I'd already added two, and so it only had room for one more. If I had put in here the array length, then it would have allowed me to keep going. But as I said, that wasn't my plan in the first place. I just didn't deactivate the account, the continue button rather. But the problem was that this counts how many were originally there. Plus work more, but it skips the fact that I've already added two before that. So it should have had a bigger number in there. Because this was the original, now I'm adding three more. And it's kind of skipping the fact that I already added two. And the way I could avoid that is instead of having work how many minus one, I could have gotten the length of the array. Okay? And length of the array should be what? Accum array dot length. Accum array. I'm in run mode. I've got too many of those open, and that makes me nervous as well. Now I'm not in run mode though. Accum array. Dot length. Okay. Minus one. So that would then give me the length of the array, and the length of the array starts with one. So therefore, because it starts with zero, I've got to put in the zero. So I claim this should work. Now we'll find out since I haven't looked at the rest of the code. I could be in for a surprise. Okay, so I'm saying start gather, and this time I will tell it I want to put in a total of four things. Okay, so I'm putting in a one, gather the amount clear, put in a two, gather the amount clear, put in a three, gather the amount clear. Put in a four, gather the amount clear. Okay, so that's the four things I put in. So now I'm hitting continue, and it says, how many do you want to enter? And I'm saying two. So it says, okay. And I'm going to put in five, continue, clear, six, continue, clear. Okay. So now I'm going to show the contents of the array, and it has 1 through 6. Now I'm going to hit the continue again and say, how many more do you want to put in? 3. And so I'm going to say 7. Continue. Clear. 8. Continue. Clear. 9. Continue. Clear. And it stopped. And now it is showing me the length goes up to 9. So that worked. Okay. So do you see the difference in between what I did? I just changed it from the original number, which was work many. That was the original number I put in. But I'd already added something to the array. So better to go back and say, I want to know the length of the array. And the length of the array is starting with 1, because that's how it counts length, so I have to subtract the 1 still. And then I add the new number that I want to put in. Okay, and my entries 6 and 9 will probably leave a lot to be desired, but anyway, that's the way I did it, so. This means it's now going to go up to 6, this means it's now going to go up to 9. So that's what I meant by those. 9 as in 9 entries. I just put in the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, so it helped to keep track of what one was what. But I could have put in any numbers. Okay, so the point of this whole thing was redim and redim preserve. Redim is useful in that it allows the user to pick the size of the array. Okay, and if they're entering things in for a specific reason and they want to make the size of the array, redim is good for that. Redim is good if for some reason I want to start over. And redim preserve is good if I want to keep what I've got but add some more. And so that gives me redim preserve. Questions? Yeah.
So, I went in and kind of messed with it.
Of course.
I put in a negative number, and so it proceeded fine until I tried to add a number into it, of which I had filled the array previously. So if we're saying to preserve the previous data.
And then you wanted to back up and erase?
And then I backed up. It allowed me to back up. But then as soon as I tried to put a number in, then it just crashed. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with it there, but...
Me either.
Then I went in and I've been looking to see if there's somewhere in the code to, without doing a convoluted if statement, to make it, like, force it to always be positive.
The easiest way to pose it to always be positive is to check the input box, what comes in.
Yes.
And make sure that they've entered a numeric. That's kind of an interesting problem because, okay, let's say I've got an array and I want to preserve it, but there's one in particular that I want to change. I think I'd have to have a whole separate routine where I chose which one I wanted to change and said specifically, okay, which one do you want to change? Pick a number. And now put something into the array modified by that number. I'd have to play with this more than I'm going to do now to find that. But feel free to have a good time because you never do the regular assignment anyway, so you might as well do something like
it's just,
that.
It's also one of those things where, like, I feel like I'm good at troubleshooting mainly just because...
Because you ask weird questions?
I always go in and will find some way to break something.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's good. And, in fact, there's jobs out there for people who are good at testing software and breaking it. You know, and there's a few companies that those names will go unmentioned that I really wish would hire people who tried to break it before it breaks when they put it on my, when I put it on my computer. But, you know, that's actually, as I said, it's actually a fairly skilled thing and a fairly well-paying job, is to go in and try to break it. And you really have to understand the program very well to be able to break it, which is why it's a reasonably high-paid thing. And you also have to understand people, I guess. What idiot thing are they going to come up with next? Okay, the last thing I wanted to look in this group is the one that I said I'd forgotten. And so we're going to look at that, which is type array. Okay, so here is my array, and I've got two arrays going on there. One that holds the number and one that holds the name. And I didn't mean to do that. Okay, now notice how I've got these set up, though. I've got them called, it's actually not two arrays. Parts of one. I've got item array dot item number, and I've got item array dot item name. So I've got those set up like that. Now, over in, and I did a module for this, although it didn't have to be done in a module. Over in the module, I said, okay, I'm going to set up a structure. And I am going to say, I have a structure called item info. And it's going to be made up of an item number and an item name. Okay, so what a structure does for me is that I can combine several fields and make a structure if it suits my purposes. So I've set here, okay, public structure item info, dim item number as an integer, dim item name as a string. So I've set up that structure. Now I come back over here. Okay, and I said dim item array 8 as item info. So I'm saying define that as that structure that I just came up with. So item info was my structure. So there's my structure. And now I'm coming over here, and I'm going to take a picture of this. Come over to here and draw text, whatever, and paste that in. Why didn't it let me paste? I thought I was being so clever. Done it all. Okay. Mod array. Edit. Maybe I didn't do edit copy. I just highlighted. Maybe that's what I did. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So, now you can see what it looks like. I shouldn't have taken a picture of that. That reduced its size one more level. Okay, there we are. Okay, so now I've got item array I've set up as having 8 things. Okay, 8 being the max, rather. It has 9 things. And I'm saying it's of the type item info. And then I defined a structure called item info. And I said that structure is going to have an item number that is an integer and an item name that's a string. So the array is a structure that's made up of both. So when I go to the array, since it's got both, I can say I want to get the zeroth element for that array, but I only want the item number. I want to get the zeroth element from the array, but I only want the item name. Or in the case of the load, I want to put these numbers into the array, and I want to put them into the part of the array that's the item number, and I want to put them into the part of the array that's the item name. And Max is playing again, so we don't want to have we don't want to answer his questions. Okay, so I've set up a structure I can now dim this instead of usually we dim things as an item, as a string, rather as a number or whatever. In this case, I'm saying I can define what I want to dim it as, and I'm dimming it as item info, which is made up of both an integer and a string, one following the other. So I now have item number, item array 0 dot item number, and I'm putting a number in there. Item array 1 dot item number, and I'm putting a number in there. And then I can also put in the names. So now, whenever I want to use the item array, I have to be specific. Do I want to use the item number part of it, or do I want to use the item name part of it? Because the array has got both things in it. This is very similar to when I set up the array, and within the quotes, I wrote the number followed by the name. It's a very similar structure, only it's the official structure that Visual Basic developed. Questions? Okay, so if we go back over to the program, when I go back down to the search, because I am searching for matches in this, whoops, I keep hitting the wrong thing. I mean to take a picture of the screen. When I'm searching down here, I am searching using item array subscript after it dot item number. And for me, this is something that I tend to do wrong, but luckily it lets me know, is I frequently want to write item array dot item number and then put item sub. Okay, but it wants the sub to refer to the entire array and then the dot item number, as opposed to refer to which item number within the array. So it wants to find the element within the array and then find the item number portion of it, excuse me, or the item number name portion of it, as I'm doing down here. And as I said, when I write this, I frequently make the mistake of item array dot item number and putting the subscript after that, and it's not happy with that. Yeah.
Why does item sub need to be there?
To tell which one I want. Whenever I have an array, I have to have a subscript after it, because what an array is it is saying the same name can show up 9 times. Well, we know enough about programming to know you can't name 2 things with the same name. So if you're using the same name, the only way they're going to let you do that is to tell them specifically which of the 9 you're really talking about. And item sub will tell which of the 9 you're really talking about. So it's a pointer to say, okay, this thing, there's 9 of these. This is the one I'm talking about right now. Okay? Because again, if you look back up here, these are all the same. Item array dot item number, they're all the same. Okay, so I've got to tell which of them that I want, and I have to have the subscript. Yeah.
Where is item sub assigned?
Oh, I think I just set it up down in the routine. I don't know. It's not up at the top, so I must be using it just in the search. So I dimmed it right there in the search. Okay? And again, that's the kind of thing that if I'm using it locally, I can dim it locally. If I want to use it all over the place, then I would dim it up at the top publicly. And again, notice this is a function. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying, for the text item name dot text box, go and do search array pass work item number. And why is it twitty about that? Function without an as clause, return type of object. Okay. So I didn't say as something or other. So it gave a default of object, yeah.
So the first time it's item sub 0, right? And then
mm-hmm.
it goes through.
Yeah, and I keep adding to it.
Okay.
So the very first time when I hit this, it's a 0. I keep adding to it, and I do it until it passes 8. Or I find a match. When it passes 8, I want out of there because 8 is the bottom element in the array. There's no number after 8. So if I let it go to 9, it's going to crash the array. So I need to put in, if I don't like to see the curly squiggles, I have to define it as a whatever I want to define it as, probably string. And, it's item number, so probably number. Probably an integer. But it goes ahead and defines it for me, but it's just yelling at me. Questions? Okay, going, gone. Okay, so now we're actually finished with VB.net. So I'm going to back up in Chapter 8, and as I said, it's been a long time since I looked at these because I kept being more optimistic. So, did I not close that? Okay, so I have defined out here two arrays and an upper sub, and I've defined those in the module more because I wanted to use a module. I could have defined them inside as well, but I defined them more because I wanted to use a module. Okay, so I'm starting out, and I said, the first button was button fill array. On load, I did something too. On load, I have a for loop, and I basically put stuff into, okay, the array. So I basically made the array empty. Okay, so I've got an array of languages. And this one, I was kind of a cleanup. I made the array empty. Okay. So string.empty puts empty into the array. And then I came down and I said I want to fill in the array. Okay, so if we go through this, so the first thing is, you come in here and it says fill language array. Okay, so that's going to mean that I am clicking, when I click on that, I'm going to be doing this. That's my button, fill array. Okay, so I'm going to fill it in. Hello? Oh, I guess I had to put the number in. I was expecting it to come up with... Okay, why did that just crash? As I said, I should have looked at this again last night, but I forgot I hadn't looked at it so long.
The number of languages in first.
Yeah, got to put something in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That was my guess. I'm too busy making this work. All right, so if I put in and I say, okay, yes, because enter languages, you know, that's going to be it. So I guess I'm not going to be honest. And I will put a 4 in there and then say fill the languages. Okay, so Russian, I'm going with my daughter now. Turkish, German, I think she knows a little French. She knows a Ziri, too. So I will put those in. Okay, so now I have put those into the array. So I have an array called languages, and I put it into the array. And if I say C languages, it's going to show me the languages that I just entered. Okay? Okay, so then I say some languages taught at BCC. Okay, so what do I need to do for that? I say some languages taught at BC, and it says 7, okay? And it's coming up with a different definition of languages, okay? So some people define languages that way, some people define languages this way, okay? If you want to talk foreign languages, I only know one. That would be English. If you want to define languages taught at BCC, well, I'm sure they teach French and all that too, but more importantly, they teach PHP and VB and all that. So, those are the languages taught at BCC. So, one array I was filling and then showing the results of having filled it. The other array was already filled, if you remember, and go back over to look at that module that I first came in with. That array was already filled. Okay, so I can also do languages at BCC by doing the for each loop, and we'll look at that in a minute. And then I can say, okay, is language taught at BCC? Okay, I'm supposed to put it in over here. VB. Okay, and it says yes. And then I can say search the languages and look for JavaScript. Okay. And it's clearly giving you a lot of feedback before it gives me the yes. So those are the different modules that I had that were working with arrays. Okay? So, again, if I go out and look at this, if I look at my language array, I've got one that's set up, and whatever I put into integer upper sub is going to be the number of elements in that array. So when I asked how many languages do you know, I got a number, and I wanted to use that number to set up the array. Okay? So that number is going to be whatever is in integer upper sub is going to be there, and I apparently set a default of 6. But whatever is going to be there is going to be the number. I think I allow them to change it, as I said. I should have looked at this again last night. But right now, if I just look at this, it looks like 6 is there. But I got to believe that I told it that it could put the others in. Then I set up another array. And notice in this one, I didn't even give it a number. It will figure the number out based on the number of things that I put in there. So I put my languages in there. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 languages there. Okay, so those are the array, and those are the 7 that I will see coming out.
It's interesting, it's Microsoft Compiler, but it's still a picky about case.
In which the search? Yeah, no, the search is. It's not picky about case in things like use of the language. But it's still picky about case in literals. It doesn't play around with literals. At least I can't think of an example that it plays around with literals.
Like, you can go back in and if you put all your fields in a subcase, and you can just use whatever their answer is. But
right. Okay, so in this code, I've got the fill language array. Excuse me. Okay. So if C is less than or equal to the integer upper sub, so I just keep going and I fill it with a 4 next. So I'm saying if C integer, okay, is less than or equal to the upper sub plus 1. So apparently I decided, you know, when I put the 6 there, I decided that I wasn't going to let anybody know more than that language. Okay? And so it will then go through and let me do this X number of times, depending on what I said. So notice the array language is controlled by the number language sub, which runs from 0 to the text that I put in. So even though I set up the array to hold more, I did not allow more to go into it. Okay, I kept it at that number. I didn't allow more to go into it. Now, I honestly think a better way to do it is the way I did it in the other one when I ask how many. In the one we looked at before when I ask how many, and don't give it a default number, but let it the user fill in the number totally and completely. Okay. So then I put out and number is outside the array, re-enter. So if I came in and said, okay, I know 30 languages, it's telling me the number is outside the array, re-enter. Okay, so it's not going to let me tell it that I know 30 languages, but it will let me go up to the number I defined.
2, 6, 8.
Right, plus 1. Because again, it goes right. So if I put 7 here, it then starts me in, and I can put stuff in. If I put 8, it wouldn't let it. But if I put 7, it lets me do it. Okay. And I really don't want to do it, so I'm going to try to, oh, for Pete's sakes. So, then I have a bunch of different ways of using this. I have the for, which just means that I put the control in. For 0 to the length minus 1, I put in the control. And then I also have the for each, which is basically I define variable for each. Now, if you remember a week or two ago, I was using the for each and I defined the number up there. And I said, I thought I didn't have to define it up there. And I went up and took that out and it didn't let me get away with it. Okay, this is how I can get away with it. I can say for each as string. And that means it then defines the variable for each as a string, which is the same as dimensioning it. And that means that I don't have to define it separately if I don't happen to feel like it. In some languages, you don't have to define it at all. If you write the for each statement and you put a variable in there, and it says it's in this array, it basically looks at the array and sets that up. And you don't have to define it. And that's why I was playing around with it and checking to see if I had to define it. Okay. So, I've defined the variable for each as a string in the language array. And I am adding that to writing the things out. So I will take and put the variable for each is the first language in the array, and then it will be the second, and then it will be the third. So this basically does it, as opposed to up here in the for, I have to give the subscript, I have to do it. So I have to do the add and say I want to add this element in the array that this number is pointing to. With the for each, it knows it should go through the entire array, so it keeps track and it just goes 0, 1, 2, 3 to whatever limit you have, okay, on the array. So that's kind of an automated version of a for next, is what it really is. It's an automated version of a for next. You never need to use it. You can always use a for next, or you can always use that. Then my string, okay, I am coming down and I've got enter the language to check. So they put in an input box, and I'm going through now the array, and it's going to go through each one, and I'm going to say if the one that you put in is equal to the one that I'm looking at currently from the array, then say yes. So it is going to check the language that I want to match and with each number in the array. Okay? And when it finds a match, it says yes. As opposed to the search that I wrote, which has to work a lot harder. Okay, when I wrote the search down there, it's working a lot harder to find it. Because the for each controls that it doesn't go outside the array. So I don't need to ask about the length question, because the for each won't let it go out of the array. And that was my big problem when I write the search myself, is that there's two reasons to quit. One is that I've processed everything in the array, and one is that I found it. Well, if you're using the for each, then it can skip the fact that I am outside the array. It doesn't have to worry about that. It doesn't have to worry about when I add one, I might go outside the array, because for each checks everything in the array, and it doesn't let me go past the array. Since it checks everything, I don't have to worry about a work count. I don't have to worry about a count, because it's keeping track of the account of the count for me. Okay, so the only thing I really have to do is say, okay, are they equal? Is the element that you're looking at right this minute from the array equal to the one that I put in the input box? And if it is, change the box to yes. And I actually could change my search on this particular one. And I think I could have just put in text yes, no right there equals yes. And not had to add that search, the question at the bottom. Just use the question to control it. But just change if I find it. Change text yes no dot text to yes. I don't see any reason why I can't. So that would be the change right there. Okay. Questions? I did it again. Clicked the wrong button. Questions. Okay, what's the second one that is in that list? If I go back to Visual Basic, examples.
Calc array.
Huh?
It's calc array.
Okay, so it's calc and then it's more. I don't know why I went back. So I'm going to open file, open project solution, and I'm looking at calc. Okay, this is just, again, using the for each a lot of different ways and going in and doing calculations. So I started out. And again, the ones that are under Chapter 8 at the beginning are really basically from the book. I mean, the problems aren't from the book, but these are the things that the book is emphasizing. The things that are off under the VB net are the things that I thought should be emphasized when I was doing it. So I basically went back, and then when I did it, when they moved up to 2010, I went through the book and did kind of the highlights of what the book was talking about. Okay, so show array shows me the number. There's my array, and show array just shows me the number. Okay? Show total shows me the total of that array. Show average gives me the average. Highest gives me the highest number. Lowest gives me the lowest number. Okay? So show array is going to go through and just show everything. And then on these others, I am going through and doing the for each. And this is a perfect example of the for each. Just add everything in the array. Add number as single in the number array. Add them all up. When you're done, show it to me. Average them. When you're done, show it to me. N2 is a formatting, which is number with two decimal places, I believe. Then on the high and on the low, I keep putting something aside. So I start out and I say work high. So I did in this case a 4 next, and I said from 0 to the length minus 1. If the number I'm looking at is greater than work high, then put it into work high. And then if you find another number that's bigger, put it into work high. And if you find another number that's bigger, put it into work high. And I did the same thing with work low. So that I just go through that. Go through and compare. And if you find a low number, and obviously the first time through, the high number and the low number are going to be put into. Okay? And then I just keep comparing. And at the end, I display what's in work low or I display what's in work high. Questions? All right, then that means, I guess, we look at the last one. Okay, so I have a bunch of different things going on here. I have a bunch of different arrays. So on my load, I'm putting some numbers in the number arrays. I'm putting some names in the name arrays. And then I have a two-sort array as well. Okay, so I'm setting up all these arrays, and they're all being done on the load. And again, this time I have parallel arrays, because the 120 matches with this, the 121 matches with that, 159 matches with that. So I've got parallel arrays for those two, and then the two-sort array is just for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Okay? So if I come down here and look at the two-sort array, okay, the first thing is I'm making you write bubble slots or top-down slots, rather. Array.sort will also do the sorting. So if I say array.sort, and somewhere I have this up here, and I say sort, now I'm getting these in alphabetical order. Okay, I put the numbers in, and now it's sorting them in alphabetical order. So I'm getting them sorted. And all I did was click on the sort. And it said array sort, and I gave it the name of the array. And then I said, okay, it went and did the sort. The for loop is just put it out, is to show it. But array.sort sorted the array. Okay? So it was as simple as that. Magic happened, and it got sorted. And then I wanted to prove that it got sorted, so I've got a for next loop there that's proving that it got sorted. Okay, but that's its purpose, is just the proof. The sort did the sort. And even though I asked you to write a sort, in fact, if I were in Visual Basic, this is the way I would do it. I'd just do the dot sort, unless I had some very strange kind of sort where I wanted to work with a lot of different things and felt I needed to write my own. Okay, so then I have the show array, which basically is showing the array. And I'm showing them next to each other. So I basically said, go to the number array and take the zeroth element, concatenate it with some spaces, and then go to the word array and get the zeroth element. So I am basically putting them next to each other. And that's how a parallel array should work. Okay, a parallel array should go in and get the parallel, the number and the associated name. So I have a number and an associated name, and they've both got an index of zero. And then the next number and associated name both have an index of one, and that just keeps going. And so I can print them out parallel, side by side, or do something else with them, because they, and I just showed a show array about 10 times, and now I've got it about 10 times. So it goes down and it shows the things in a parallel kind of way. So I set up the thing and then I said, okay, now add to the items list. Add work info to the items list, and it added it. Okay. There's a search. And it's the same search that I've been using before. So if I put in 156 and say search, actually, I wasn't looking. It wants me to enter it here. Okay. And what did I just...
156, not CIS 156.
Thank you. Okay, I did it right the first time. I put it in there when I was doing it wrong. I did it right. Okay, so it does the search and comes up with Visual Basic. And again, this thing at the bottom is mainly because I want an error match that says it did not find a match. Okay, that takes care of button sort. Then add a course. I want to add in here CIS 150.
Just want a number.
Just a number, thank you. I guess that's why we keep you around, right? Because you can catch all my errors. Okay, and then I put in a course name. And I can spell it right. And there's Oracle. Okay, so I've now added a course. Now, if I wanted to, I could have done a sort to get these in order, but I just added it to the bottom of the array. But if I wanted to, I could have done a sort to get those done. So I now have added a course, and if I go down and look at add a course, okay, in here I did a redim preserve. So I did a course count. If I said I wanted to add a course, I said, okay, and make course count plus one. Okay? So I'm adding one to the course count, and I'm then saying redim preserve, and I am upping the size of the array and preserving what's in it. And then I said enter the course number, enter the course name, then put the input number that you just put in into the array in the course count slot. Put the name into the array in the course count slot. Clear out the item box and go through and show me everything that's currently in the array. So it's now showed me everything that's currently in the array. Questions.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to add in here and say if you want extra credit, go in and when I click on add course, give me the course, but give it to me in order. So stick in the 150 between the 122 and the 156. So figure out how to get that when I click on add course to get those in order by course number. And I will add that up to the site, but if you do that, I'll give you extra credit for doing that. Just as you started to say that, I'm thinking, that would be a good extra credit. Okay. I'm done. We finished arrays, and I don't want to get started in the next thing, so we're done. We're going to go back after vacation and look briefly at the multiple forms and that sort of stuff in Chapter 7. And then I think we move on to working with databases. We work on the files, which you've actually already done. We've looked at files, but we're going to look at them a little bit differently and again. And then we're going to move into databases, where we will start working with access. So if you don't know access, or if you've forgotten access, go review access, because we're going to be using access as the database.
I can't get away from it to save my life.
Access? No. All righty, I'm done. If you're job hunting, be sure to come Thursday and listen to Meditech.
He's going to come into the C++ class too, I think.
Yes, he is.
He has it posted on his screen.
Yeah. Yes, he is. So, yes, you're right. If you're in this.
A brief visit, so I don't know if it's.
I think they might be longer here.
That's what I was thinking.
The same guy who came last semester?
Yes.
At one point?
Yeah. Well, and so if you've already come, one of them is Terry Ott is coming with him, who's an ex-student of mine. Greg Clacken is the guy that comes every semester. But Terry is actually coming, and he's an ex-student of mine that's now programming for them.
Was he one of the mentors?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he's always one of my mentors. And he's coming, and so, you know, if you're interested in programming, he'd be good to talk to.
So. Don't forget to dust off the old resume. I'll say it's here.
How many years have you been at BCC?
let's see, this is 2013, so 8.
I was telling my husband that, and I said, I got to have that wrong. It's got to be 6 or something like that. He